Morning. Thank you, Mike, Barry, and Steve. That was really wonderful. Amen. Thank you for leading us into the presence of our Lord. Well, here we are in the last chapter of 2 Thessalonians. In our seasons in this epistle, we're drawing it to a close today. And the sermon title is called The Consequences of Idleness. What a great way to end. But the Word of God is the Word of God. And sometimes it may be uncomfortable, but it's the Word of God. And we preach the Word of God in season and out of season. And let the Word of God be true and every man a liar. And the church said, Amen. But it is a positive sermon in the long run. So we're living in very interesting times. The Bible describes these times as the year of the Lord's favor. When Jesus read from Isaiah 61 in the temple, and he said, Today this fulfilled in your midst. That when Jesus came and he lived his life as a servant, we've sang about it, we've read about it, we've listened to it this morning, and gave his life up for us so we could live an abundant life here on earth and an eternity with him. And our glorious hope is that he's coming back to take us to be with him. Amen. And this is the focus of this book, this epistle, this letter, these letters to the Thessalonian church, to encourage them in days of persecution. Some theologians describe our times as already, but not yet. And what they mean, it's multi-layered, but Christ has already defeated Satan upon the cross of Calvary. But Satan is still the prince of this world. He has no authority over us Christians. Jesus Christ is establishing his kingdom, and we are already part of that kingdom if we have yielded our lives to the authority and lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Satan has no authority over us. The Bible clearly tells us in Ephesians that we're seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms. What does that mean? It means we're already part of the kingdom, that our spirits are connected with Jesus Christ in the heavenly realms. Whoa. Not enough RAM to fully digest that one. But it is a biblical truth. But this tent that we're living in is decaying. This world around us, the Bible describes, is groaning in pain, is groaning for release for that day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and reconciles all things unto himself. Already, but not yet. So, spiritually, we're reconciled to him, but not physically. The canon is complete, the Bible is complete, but his kingdom is not. And we have the wonderful privilege of being co-laborers with Christ Jesus to proclaim this glorious gospel. We're living in days that prophets of old longed to live. Wonderful days, challenging days, sometimes difficult days. The Christian is under a great deal of pressure and sometimes a great deal of persecution. In countries very close to us, there's many Christians undergoing severe persecution. There's more Christians being martyred today than ever before. And Gary always prays. We prayed this morning, and he always thanks God for the freedom that we have to worship our Lord and meet in a public place. And we shouldn't take that for granted. So, Pastor Peter Law preached, I don't know if you were here, a wonderful sermon several months ago And it was on the spirit of the age. Relativism. And that sums up the times we live in very well. For many, truth is a relative thing and not absolute. The real absolute is their personal desire. It's all right for you, but this is how I live. And we all know that is false, because the only truth is God's truth. And I've already said it, may man be a liar and God be the truth, as it says in Romans. And they live a lie, but this is the spirit of the age that we live in. And this is the challenge. It's not PC to be a Christian. Well, it never was. Don't be surprised, the Bible tells us, when you're undergoing these various things, because the church in Thessalonica were undergoing severe persecution when Paul wrote to them. He had to write to them a second time to encourage them because the pressure was on. I'll do it. It's okay. I probably pressed the wrong button. Yeah. So, briefly cover the themes that we've already spoken about in 2 Thessalonians. They were undergoing persecution, and they—that's the wrong way around. They were persevering despite persecution. It also spoke about the day of the Lord, and we had a couple of sermons about the day of the Lord and the man of lawlessness. And last week, Pastor Dardian spoke to us about the importance of work. The importance of work. So, and then this week, the end of the chapter, the consequences of idleness. If persecution was not enough, they were already experiencing false teachers. They were undergoing severe persecution. If that wasn't enough, there were false teachers coming in the church, and the Bible describes these teachers as wolves in sheep's clothing. Even to the point, there was a fake letter that was apparently written by Paul that was being circulated amongst the Thessalonian church that was causing great confusion and panic to many. And Paul wrote the second letter to address some of these issues. It seems that the Thessalonians, or some people in the church, overreacted to the teaching of Christ's return. And we're told quite clearly that some packed in their jobs, they quit them, they stopped working altogether. And the tension this created within the church was because they've stopped working, they became a burden. That they were, other people had to work to support these people. So we would say they were freeloading off the goodwill and the resources of the other people. So at that point, let's pick it up in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now, such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers and sisters, do not grow weary in doing good. If anybody does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him or them, so they may be ashamed. Do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as a brother or sister. May the Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we heard Pastor Dardian sharing about the excellence of work, how it's God ordained even before the fall. Man was a steward of the garden, and how good and pleasurable it is to do whatever we do, to do it unto the Lord and to give him our best, as working for him and not to man. And that is the secret. If we can find pleasure in our work, Whatever we do, doing it unto the Lord and not to man. I believe that's the secret of living, of contentment. And whatever you do, if you're a housewife, if you're a house husband, if you're at work, if you're in the office, whatever you do, do it unto the Lord with all your heart and not unto man. And I believe that is the great secret of contentment. But here we have the flip side to that and the consequences to that I'm going to speak about, the consequences of not working. Well, you can still work and be idle. So I'm going to say not the consequences of not working, but the consequences of idleness. I remember when I was a young man growing up, my grandma always used to say to me, the devil finds work for idle hands. And I sort of used to smile to myself and think, what does she know? So I was doing a few things that a young man shouldn't do. And she knew full well. And she knew the consequences of the road I was traveling. And she was trying to warn me in her own wise way. But when you're young, you think you know everything. But unfortunately, and it's a true saying. In a different context, a very familiar passage in 2 Samuel chapter 11, when we hear about King David and his adulterous relationship with Uriah's wife Bathsheba that led to murder. That led to murder. All because he wasn't in the right place at the right time. He was walking about the palace and he got an eyeful of this beautiful woman bathing when he should have been in the battle lines, commanding his troops. And we know the story from there. If you do not know the story, I suggest that you read it. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And the consequences to his rebellion were severe. That affected not only his life, but generations. That led to all sorts of sin. Now, I know the context is different, but he was idle and he was somewhere where he shouldn't be. So the consequences to idleness are severe. So let us read on. Let us carry on in the context of this. So when the people were idle in this context, in the Thessalonians, Paul addressed them in verse 11 as becoming busy bodies. There wasn't busy bodies, they became busy bodies. And it led to this. Busy bodies are people who meddle in the affairs of others. One dictionary description of a busybody is a person who constantly gossips and talks bad about people, one who spread rumors about them in order to cause problems and conflict. And busybodies are also described in, Paul wrote about them in 1 Timothy 5:13. They learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, not only idlers, but gossips and busybodies, saying things what they should not. And this isn't something new that's just arrived in 2 Thessalonians. Paul also addressed it in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. He encouraged the church and said to them and commanded them and exhorted them to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. There's that word again, quietness. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands just as we told you. So we know from this passage and from the context that we're in, the consequences of idleness, busybodies that become meddlers, that go around from house to house, from place to place, gossiping, and when gossiping is left to itself and it carries on, it soon becomes slander. And slander is a very dangerous sin because it attacks the character and integrity of the person. And if you cast a shadow of doubt over somebody's integrity, because our integrity as a Christian is all we've got, and Satan wants to attack that integrity, that authority, to cast a shadow over it. And Satan is an expert at this. He's been doing it for a long time. If we remember, very familiar passage in the Gospels, in the temptation of Christ, that Satan, the audacity of him, said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "If you are the Son of God." And he knew full well who he was. So if he's got the audacity to slander, to cast doubt, to put a shadow over our Lord Jesus Christ, he will do the same to every one of us if we allow him to do that. So even though a little chat, a little gossip, the Bible describes them in Proverbs as choice morsels. Go right down into our bellies, these little choice morsels. But we don't gossip at ICS. But unfortunately, all of us gossip at some time or other. And it says the consequences can be quite severe. And also it says the tongue has the power of life and death, and those that love it will eat its fruit. We've got to remember that God created the universe, the heavens and the earth, through the spoken word. We are made in the image of our God. And when we speak as a Christian, we have authority. We're made in the image of God. Even though we're in a fallen state, it still says we are made in the image of God. And when we say things, they have power. And it warns us in Proverbs, it says, and those that love it will eat its fruit. So what does that mean? Those who love to talk will reap the consequences, whether we bless or whether we curse. And it says what we say in secret is going to be shouted from the rooftops in the day of judgment. Lord, have mercy on us all. So this is a serious business. And how serious? Peter addresses it in 1 Peter chapter 4. And he says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer. That's quite a list. And what comes next? Or as a busybody in other man's affairs. That's quite a list. And also, it states very clearly that no slanderer will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, nobody, when they gossip, means to slander. But left unaddressed, and to its own devices, it has a danger to progress there. So we all need to be on guard against that. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. This is a sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Paul was a master. He commands and encourages us to obedience. Previous to this, he's prayed for the whole church individually. And I have this week prayed for every single one of you individually. And we're in a spiritual battle, friends. And the battle is raging. And the enemy wants to bring division. And Christ died so there would be unity. In Ephesians, that dividing wall between Jew and Gentile has been broken down forever. And we're brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means for eternity. Love covers a multitude of sins. Paul expertly addresses, commands, encourages, admonishes in love, and finishes with this: now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. And he goes on to say how he signs this letter. In the account of this fake letter, he signed his letters in a certain way that authenticated them. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Dr. Warren W. Worsby quotes it like this: some people are constructionists who help getting the job done. Others are destructionists who are busy tearing things down. Others are obstructionists who create problems for the people doing the work. And his question is, what group are you in? What group are we in? And the application is very clear. It says, warn those who are busybodies. Warn them with brotherly and sisterly love. And if they do not respond, it says, do not associate with them who do not obey this teaching. The reason for this is to bring them shame. It's not to ostracize them completely. It's to, like, they used to put the person outside the camp for several days or a period of time, so they would come to their senses, so they can be reconciled back. And this is very important. And it says, let us not become weary in doing good. Because when we do good, and if we're bled by somebody that isn't pulling their weight, and you're carrying somebody else, it drains the life out of you. And it stops you from wanting to do the right thing, which God has called us to do. So, the conclusion of the matter, and as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing good. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that convicts, that never condemns. We thank you for your love that leads and guides. And we're sorry, Lord, for saying things that we shouldn't say. The problem with the tongue, it goes faster than the brain. So Lord, have mercy on us all. In Jesus' name. We're going to have communion shortly. And this would be a great opportunity for us to examine our hearts. For God to show us if we said any stray words. If we've cursed instead of blessed. There is mercy for that. There is forgiveness for that. So please join me in reading the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. He rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life in the world to come. Amen. Paul, could you please join me in serving the emblems? Just some practical instruction how we do communion at ICS. We'll serve the worship team first so that they can lead us into a song. After that, if you could make your way to your left, tear a piece of bread. You've got the option to dip that into the wine or into the juice of your choice. On the day he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. He said, "This is my body given up for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." He poured the wine and he said, "This is my blood that's been poured out for you." And we do this in remembrance of him, the blood of the everlasting covenant, that we partake of the bread and of the wine until he comes again for his bride. So, Father God, we ask you just to convict us of our sins, that we may confess and be cleansed. Thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus that removes our no more. We thank you for that.
So truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross. All who gather here by grace draw near and bless your name. Love so amazing, so divine, deep as my soul, my life, my all.
Kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
Nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let given counsel to the Lord. Who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us upon his hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful man. God eternal, humble to the grave, Jesus Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him.
Notices. This is the last week for the Lydia baby bottle campaign. So next week will be the last week to bring your bottles full of change and to put it in the large bottle, and we can bless ministry. Please take a bottle if you haven't already, and if you're not here next week, you can just put some cash in that big baby bottle for the Crisis Center for Pro-Life. They're doing a wonderful work, and ICS stand by them and support them. And everything that has been donated, we're going to double as a fellowship, because we want to stand with them and support that ministry wholeheartedly. So, for the events going on this week, there'll be no Tuesday prayer meeting at MacOp, because we've got a visitor coming to Skopje on Tuesday, and I doubt we'll get past the Catholic Church to get to MacOp on Tuesday, so that's postponed for this week. The men's breakfast meets at 8:30 in the Irish pub. Come along, you're welcome to eat breakfast, talk about life, and pray together. So if you're able to do that, please do so. Yes, I think that's... if you're not in a home group and you want to be in a home group, speak to me, get plugged in. It's a wonderful opportunity to unpack the Word of God, to have fellowship together, and to share life together. So if you're not in a home group and you want to be in a home group, have a chat with us and we'll work that out for you. Have you been baptized? We're having a baptism service in June. We have three people to be baptized. If you've never been baptized in water and you would like to be baptized, come and have a chat with us. We're going to do that in the river at Matka, and we're going to have a barbecue at Eric and Lisa's to celebrate. So the date is to be confirmed for the people who are getting baptized or just getting back to me, but it will be in June. So pencil that in, and if you haven't been baptized or any of your family members haven't been baptized and they want to know what that's all about, please chat with us. So, if you have opportunity, I would encourage you to stay behind, have a coffee and some fellowship with us, and if you're able, help us to pack away this equipment, and we could join you in a coffee. So now to the benediction. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen. Amen. Bless you.